Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. Happy Thursday. Welcome in. Thank you, everyone, for making us a part of your day. Thanks to James Stelliano for staying on this first hour of the show. Always great to have Jimmy on the other side of the glass. Great to have Tanner, too, and Tanner will join us at 2 as he does. It's the switchover show, right? I get the first hour with David's producer, the second hour with Bowerly's producer. It works out just great. I've got to say, and this is not the topic I was going to start with, and I'm not starting with this. But man, has air travel just gotten more and more annoying. So 2 hours ago, I received a text from an American airline. That's all I'm going to say. And was told that my flight this evening has already been changed to 8:07. That is 30 minutes later than it was supposed to take off, and my layover in Charlotte is only an hour long. So here it is, 1:11. I'm spending the next 2 hours with you fine people, and a little stressed now as to what will happen. Will I make my connection? Will they do what they did to me last time, and when I get to the airport, move it back up 15 minutes so it's only 15 minutes delayed? Lots of mystery going into my evening here. But the one thing that's not a mystery is I am with you, and we have a lot to talk about. I do want to say for anyone that was listening to the end of the show yesterday, my back and forth with Tom Bowerly, I did find my wedding ring. So it was under the TV stand. So 2 days not knowing where it was, it is back where it belongs on me. So found my wedding ring and misplaced my watch. I can never have everything, right? You heard David talking about it earlier. This Adam Zyglis cartoon in the Buffalo News. Now, David, brought this up before anyone was talking about it on Monday. And let me just say, it's disgusting. Not only that this cartoon got published, that Adam Zyglis thought to draw it. It's disgusting that now on Thursday, it's been sitting there for 3 days, and it is still on the front page of the Buffalo News. They are doubling down on the hateful rhetoric from their cartoonist. I mean, really, you go onto the Buffalo News' website, in the recommended, it's the first thing that pops up. I guess that would be for everyone else's login. But when I'm on here, it goes recommended for you, and it's the Zyglis Texas Flood cartoon. You would think what would be recommended would be the apology for the cartoon. But the Buffalo News is doubling down. Why? Because Adam Zyglis is on their team. It's team sports. Politics over everything. In the cartoon, it's disgusting. And I would be saying this if the politics were reversed in the situation, because it's not about the politics. We're talking about children dead, missing, over 100 people dead, over 100 people missing. And Adam Zyglis and his friends, his Democrat friends at the Buffalo News, think that it's a perfect time to make a political point. In saying shame on the Buffalo News, I've done that a million times. Nothing new. Who would think that the week they published the Mark Poloncarz engagement story, it would not be the most embarrassing thing in the paper that week? But this is just a new low, and it's an example of something that we have seen far too often. And every time something happens, we see from our friends on the political left just the hatred they have for people who don't think like them. And, you know, I always say this. This is not how politics was supposed to be. The beauty of this country is that we have differing opinions, right? We have our differing opinions, and we're able to speak out against our government. We have the freedoms to say what's on our mind and not be punished by the government. But now you live in a time, and I said this last week when filling in for Tom, we live in a time where you have the millennials and the Gen Zers who, you know, they went to the liberal colleges, and the liberal college turned into an echo chamber. They went to school at a time where Ben Shapiro, yeah, we don't want Ben Shapiro, and the school would cancel him. The school would say, Charlie Kirk, get off our campus. It was a liberal echo chamber. And now those people are out in the real world, and they believe that everything should be within their liberal echo chamber, right? MSNBC is how they want the world to act. And when they hear people who disagree with them, or God forbid, people who disagree with them get into positions of power, they are so immature because they've never had to actually deal with an opposing view that they turn to this hateful rhetoric. And it happens over and over again. And you're seeing it out of the Erie County Democrats, right? The way they talk about Republicans. I mean, the way they talk about people who they don't want to be mayor anymore within their own party. No one is safe from this hateful rhetoric. If you get in the way of the machine, they are going to make you out to be the worst person in the world. And again, we see this over and over again. We have the Ziglas. And by the way, it's an absolute, I don't even know what word to put on it. The Buffalo History Museum, to continue this event tonight, to give Adam Ziglas a platform. You're the same people that would be screaming to cancel someone on the right for doing the same thing. By the way, I would join you in that, because I don't think something like this should be politicized while we're still looking for bodies, while families are still grieving. But if the shoe was on the other foot, you would be asking, you know, whoever to cancel that person. But it's an inside look. You know, the people who run these museums, the people who run these organizations, they're far left liberals. And as long as it's Adam Ziglas, he's on their team. You got to support Adam Ziglas. Come out. Have small bites in Cash Bar. Yeah, every fun event is a Cash Bar. Come have small bites in Cash Bar and talk with Adam Ziglas. That sounds like a real treat. But I never call on people to cancel, right? But you would think, you know, some form of decency would appear. Someone would have a light bulb moment and grow a heart. You know, you ever see the Grinch Stole Christmas? His heart grew. And people would see at the Buffalo News, at the Buffalo History Museum, that, you know what, this is not who we want to be. But they'll never do that. They're going to double down because Adam Ziglas, he's a far left liberal, right? He hates Trump. And if you hate Trump, there's a place for you at the Buffalo News. If you hate Trump, there's a place for you in the Democrat run, whatever. There is a place for you. As long as your hatred of Trump is what is on your mind 85% of the time. You belong at a Democrat Party funded position. And it's unfortunate that in Western New York, we have one main newspaper that went down, has been going downhill for 15 years, right? I mean, it has not been good since I stopped delivering it. Let's just be honest. And it's really sad. I mean, it's a shell of what it used to be, right? It's got three pages in it daily. You're paying $80 for the Sunday paper that doesn't even have the coupons anymore. And this is why. I'm sorry. Like, you know, there have been times where I've wanted to support the local paper because I want the local outlet. And I do think some of the people at the Buffalo News do great stories. You know, I like David, I think Sandra Tan is great. She's a great writer. I don't know why she wrote the Pulling Cars piece, but I think there are some great journalists that work at the Buffalo News. But it's a shell of what it used to be, and it's going to continue to double down. I mean, it wants to be. If it wants to be the liberal rag, then that's what it's become. Congratulations. You know, the viewpoint section is heavily liberal. The content from the New York Times is there, the Washington Post. And when you have, you know, stuff like this, you've got the Adam Ziglis cartoons. He's not going to be punished. He's going to be praised at the Buffalo History Museum tonight. Meanwhile, Erie County Republicans are going to the paper saying, hey, we have questions. You know, we have a story. We want to let you know what's going on in the legislature. Nothing. They completely shut off the Republicans. It's actually the opposite of what we do here. We beg Democrats to come on. We beg Mark Pulling Cars. We beg Sean Ryan. Jeremy Zellner, the line's open. They avoid. Republicans, right? Erie County Republicans, they know where the Buffalo News stands. They know it's a far left newspaper. Yes, we'll give you a statement. Yes, please. Put us in the paper. And they say no. Again, a look into today's Democratic Party. They don't want to talk to people who don't think like them, and they don't want to hear from people who don't think like them. It's really sad. It's sad, and the hateful rhetoric, I would say I'd love to see it stop. You know, that's what I'm trying to do here. That's what I'm trying to invite. I want Democrats to call in. I want Sean Ryan to come on the show. Mark Pulling Cars, discuss our differences. But the reason they won't is because they have no confidence in their opinion. I mean, if you had confidence in what you were saying, and you had confidence that the Democratic Party, who's been in power in the city of Buffalo double my lifetime, was the way to continue going, well, then you come on and you discuss that with me. But you don't. You don't have any confidence. You know how flawed Sean Ryan is, how flawed Mark Pulling Cars is, but you don't want to talk about it. You just want to avoid the opposition. Again, you want to be in an echo chamber. You want Western New York to be your Democrat echo chamber. And I'm sorry, you continue to do that, you're just acting like a bunch of immature wannabe adults. And that's who makes up the Erie County Democrat Party today. There's a few good ones, right? I love Mitch Nowakowski, one of my favorite politicians. Kevin Hardwick, I'm still waiting for my congratulations on the new show, Kevin Hardwick, but I consider Kevin a friend. Brian Nowak, we don't see eye to eye, but he's always generous with his time. I have nothing against Supervisor Nowak. Right? Tim Kennedy, Congressman Tim Kennedy, regular on Hardline, I'm grateful. But a majority of the Democratic, Pat Burke, who will be on Hardline this weekend. Pat Burke's another one. He's not afraid to come on and talk. But the leadership of the Erie County Democratic Party, it's embarrassing. Jeremy Zellner can't answer a silly question at the St. Patrick's Day luncheon. Oh, I'm sorry. Get out of here. I'm eating. Come on. All right. Thanks. Thanks for playing along. Mark Pulling Cars not inviting our newsroom to events. What a child. Sean Ryan calling me on my private number, which I welcome, but then not getting back to me ever since then, so he can bully me into covering the campaign the way he wants, but he can't come on and answer questions. The guy wants to be the mayor of the second largest city in New York State. Oh, you're too critical of me. I'm not going to come on your show. I'm sorry, if you can't, me of all people, okay? If you can't come on this show, if you can't take questions from me, you have no business to be in politics. I mean, seriously, you have no place to be in politics if you can't take questions from me. I'm still new at this. And you're running away. You want to go to your echo chamber. We're having our $50 a plate fundraiser. Oh, good. Have fun. Oh, the minute I spoke out against the forums. No more calls from Beamer. Let's avoid the station. He got us. Anyway, to continue on what I was talking about, the hateful rhetoric, you've got this pediatrician in Texas who posted online, again, and I wonder, do people know that when you put it on social media, it's there for the world to see? Even if you delete it, it's most likely not going away. She put, "May all visitors, children, non-MAGA voters, and pets be safe and dry. Kirk County MAGA voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for." That's what she said on social media. The vile and hatred because, oh my gosh, they didn't vote like me. Lost her job. Again, it's a free country. You have freedom of speech. You don't have freedom to say whatever you want and not get pay the consequences of the people who employ you. Believe me, if I dropped a curse word on the air right now, you would not hear Joe Beamer anymore, right? So I have freedom of speech. My employer has the freedom to fire me whenever I want. Well, this woman said in her apology, she said, "I want to apologize to each and every individual suffering through terrible loss in this difficult time." She then went on to say that this saying this was shared with the false impression I made it after the devastating loss was unknown. She is saying she didn't realize the magnitude of the tragedy. Oh, okay. So if only 20 people were missing, or if only 20 people had died, that would be okay in this woman's eyes. So it's not the content of what she said. She didn't realize how bad the tragedy was. But don't worry, ma'am, pediatrician, you don't like MAGA voters? Guess what? I guarantee there's a place for you in the Erie County Department of Health. I'm sure Mark Poloncarz can get you a job there tomorrow. What's your thoughts on this? 803-0930-STAR-930. And what are the examples that you have seen of people turning hateful just because you don't see eye to eye on who you voted for? And Democrats, push back on anything I said. I would love to hear it. Like I said, this is a show for everybody. I give my opinion. That's what I get paid to do. I give my opinion, but I want to hear different opinions. You know, it would be very hypocritical of me to sit here and talk about the echo chamber that Erie County Democrats are trying to make and then make this an echo chamber. So all opinions are welcome. 803-0930, star 930. It is Joe Beamer. It is News Radio 930 WBEN. And we're back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Talking about this this string of vile, hateful rhetoric seemingly coming from one side of the political aisle. You've got the pediatrician in Texas and what she said about MAGA voters. You've got Adam Ziglis, who just continues to get away with just some vile, disgusting political cartoons. And during the break, the New York Post now doing an article on the Ziglis cartoon. And again, the Buffalo News doubles down. I have so much respect for the Buffalo News if they said, you know what, that's a line we're not going to allow you to cross. The Buffalo History Museum continuing to hold an event with Adam Ziglis this evening. I think that is just out of bounds. Again, they have the right to do what they want to do, and people have the right to speak with their wallets, right? But I think that is just, it's the wrong direction. Today's political landscape, we got to talk. It really is as simple as that. We have to be able to talk with one another, and people don't want to. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with you've got some people who are so used to just being in their political echo chamber. They cancel voices they don't agree with instead of speaking with them and trying to understand them. And now the Buffalo News, if what you want to be is an echo chamber, a liberal echo chamber, I mean, you're as close is possible. And like I said, that's not what I want this show to be. I don't feel that's what this station is. I feel that we have open lines for a reason. You want to call in and you want to push back on the opinion hosts, 803-0930. Call in. Tell us why you think we're wrong. And like I said, our newsroom and our news programs, including Hardline on Sundays, I can't tell you how many times I've asked Sean Ryan, Jeremy Zellner, Mark Poloncarz to come on the show. And I mean, not even given a response back. And like I said, I'm grateful for the Tim Kennedys of the world and Kevin Hardwick and Mitch Nowakowski, Chris Scanlon, right? Pat Burke, who will be on the show this weekend. They still come on. And again, we don't agree politically, but they're not running away from the opportunity to speak to people who might not agree with them. But when you've got the chair of the party, Jeremy Zellner, who tries to intimidate people to do things the way he wants, and when he doesn't get his way, he just kind of boycotts. I think it's a sad illustration to what that party's becoming, and it's unfortunate. 803-0930, star 930, that is the number to get on. On that point, the Erie County Democrats are so powerful in Western New York, and yet you have to wonder how they got to this point. How did Mark Poloncarz become a four-term county executive? How did Sean Ryan win the primary? Now, Sean Ryan won less than 13,000 votes. Can we stop making it like Sean Ryan got this huge decision? He won 12,500 votes. I mean, that's a small portion. More people went to primary day to vote against Sean Ryan than to vote for Sean Ryan. That's a point that I think we should all be remembering when we're looking at the primaries. But when I heard the Ron Plants story that Bellavia played earlier today, I hear Sean Ryan speaking there. And it is amazing that this guy has gotten to the point he is in politics. A state senator, he's now the favorite to be the next mayor of Buffalo. Sean Ryan is an awful public speaker. Like, my freshman year of college, I had to take public speaking. And you think of some of the politicians, right? Now, President Obama and I do not agree on almost anything. I think President Obama's a good public speaker. He was a great campaigner, right? Trump, in his own way, a good public speaker. Joe Biden, that's we're not going to get to that. But it is interesting to me, and I think also telling, because I don't think Sean Ryan's that great of a public speaker, and I don't think Mark Poloncarz is a great public speaker at all. He's kind of an awkward speaker. And like I said, when he was in studio with me before the 23 election, I mean, the guy wouldn't even make eye contact when we were speaking. He was looking all around the room like, bro, I'm right here. What are you looking at? But these two are able to just coast in local politics. And I think the sad reality is we have voters in Western New York and, you know, again, a lot of voters that I'm friends with, I talk to regularly, who they just go to the poll and they go right down one line and they look at one party and they fill in the bubble. You know, I told you after the 23 election, I was talking to a friend of mine and she's to the left. And I said, you know, I really can't believe you voted for Mark Poloncarz after the police report. And she goes, Joe, what police report? What are you talking about? I said, didn't you hear about the police report filed by his ex-girlfriend about him, you know, taking his phone and pushing her up against, the, you know, whatever the police report said? And she goes, I'd never heard of this. No, she didn't hear of it. She voted for him because he's a Democrat. And, you know, I have to take a comment that someone told me a few weeks ago. We were talking politics. Again, this is a liberal-minded person, but we are able to have great conversations. And he said, you know, the thing about Mark Poloncarz is he loves politics, but he's an awful politician. And he's so right. Again, I don't think Mark Poloncarz is a good speaker, right? He's fortunate that he is in an Erie County that has increasingly got more to the left over the last decade. So he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to be a good public speaker or, you know, do things that most polished politicians have to do, because as long as he keeps running with the D next to his name, he'll continue to be elected. And it's really, I'm sorry, it's really sad that we've gotten to this point where politicians like Sean Ryan and Mark Poloncarz can continue to be prominent in local politics without having any kind of public speaking talent, but people will just go to the polls and vote for the Democrat, regardless. I mean, there are times where you have seen, growing up, no offense to Anthony Mazziello, I know he listens to the show, Mayor Mazziello, I remember going to events where people would just boo him. And then, you know, you would say, but he's the mayor. Oh, yeah, but that's what we do. But they still voted for him. Why? He was the Democrat. Chris Scanlon's no longer the candidate in November. Why? Because for some reason, the boss of the Democrat Party told people what to do. And enough people, not many, but enough people went to the polls and did what Jeremy Zeldin did. And it's funny, the people who voted for Sean Ryan are the stick it to the man people, right? But they listened to the man. I mean, there's no more, quote, the man than Jeremy Zellner, the head of the party. What happened to sticking it to the man? Sean Ryan's voters are the stick it to the man group, and they literally just followed what the suit of the party said. I don't know. 803-0930, star 930. I don't know how we got to this point. But the Erie County Democrats have gotten so powerful that they can really run whoever they want. And you've got someone unelected in Jeremy Zellner who's pulling the strings of local politics. And again, this is why you won't have Zellner, Poloncarz, Ryan come on, because I could say, well, Buffalo's been run by Democrats for 40 years. And you're talking about all these problems, but your ideas aren't working. They're clearly not working. How do you run away from, how do you answer that question? Maybe I'll ask Pat Burke on Hardline Sunday. But how do you answer that question, Jeremy Zellner? How do you answer that question, Sean Ryan? Mark Poloncarz? I mean, Mark, is there a bigger puppet for the Democrat Party than Mark Poloncarz? My question to Mark Poloncarz is, how do you explain 40 years of Democratic rule in the city of Buffalo, and now we're talking about a huge deficit? We're talking about the Bills did not build downtown. I know you want to blame the money, right? We're going to blame Pegula. Blame the guy who brought the money here. Blame the guy who spent the money in downtown Buffalo. Let's not look in the mirror and say that, well, we sat here and thought they would just come instead of actually doing something to get them to come downtown. Again, Democratic thought, well, the people with the money have to pay, right? They have to be punished. They built their business from nothing. Now they need to be punished. So I'd like to know the face of the Democrat Party, Jeremy Zellner, Sean Ryan, maybe the next mayor, Mark Poloncarz. I'd love to have all three on the show right now and tell me what's changed. I mean, I'll tell you what's changed in the party. You might not want to hear it. But policy-wise, how is the Democrat Party now going to work when it hasn't for 40-plus years? It'll be crickets. Again, no one's going to come on and answer that question. And that's fine. That's fine. I will continue to ask. If there's one thing to know about me, if you haven't picked it up from all my fill-ins, from BMAS and Beamer, from Hardline, I don't give up. Okay? I mean, when I was a junior in high school, or junior in college, I was doing Saturday night production on the station. And there was a paid show, no longer here, a paid show on Saturday nights. And after running the show, I guess they didn't like my production work. They walked in and said, have you ever considered? They asked me, what year are you? I said, I'm a junior. Maybe you should consider changing your major. Radio's probably not going to work out for you. Now, I'm on the radio, they're not. But if there's one thing to know about me, I don't give up, right? I could have easily taken that person's advice, changed my major, and done something else. I don't give up. So, am I going to stop trying to get Erie County Democrats on the show? No. I'm going to try every day. Because now I'm on the air 6 days a week. I'm going to try every day to get an Erie County Democrat on the show. Answer the questions. Why don't you want to be questioned? Why don't you want to have pushback to your answers? Why don't you want to have a conversation with someone who doesn't agree with you? What are you afraid of? Again, I think the only reason I would go, if you had a Democratic podcast, if there was a Democratic show, like I said, I used to be a producer on Leslie Marshall's show. She would have me on all the time. I'm not scared to debate. I'm not scared to have conversations because I'm confident in what I believe. I'm informed to back up my opinions. If you're the county executive, if you're the prospective mayor, if you're the chair of the party, you should be informed enough to back up your opinions. And if you're not, then you shouldn't be doing the job. And that's that. That's what I have to say about that. But I was, I guess I never noticed it. But in that Ron Plants story that David played, Sean Ryan's just, this guy's going to be the next mayor? He is a brutal public speaker. I mean, just one of the worst locally. But we'll see. Maybe he'll come on the show. Might not come on the show after that. Also going on, you've got parishioners suing the Buffalo Diocese. And this is a story that we continue seeing come back in the news. Now, payments to the diocese are due in 5 days, right? July 15th is the deadline for the payments to the diocese for the $80 million portion in the settlement. And on Tuesday, they filed the suit in state Supreme Court seeking a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction to prevent pastors from paying the diocese by July 15th. Now, the parishioners in the lawsuit are Blessed Sacrament in Tonawanda, Our Lady of Peace in Clarence, St. Bernadette in Orchard Park, St. Aloysius in Gonzaga in Cheektowaga, and St. John in West Seneca. Now, these churches were asked to pay 80% of their funds by July 15th to help with the $80 million combined. St. Bernadette, the 80% assessment amounts to $723,666, which would have been used for maintenance issues. I go back to saying, the Diocese of Buffalo, the Catholic Church of America, or the Catholic Church of the world, should be fronting the $80 million. The parishes, the parishioners, the people who go to these churches, the people who take advantage of the programs of these churches, should not be held responsible for the settlement that the diocese made. And I can't believe, while we're seeing the Pope and, you know, all the pomp and circumstance around the first mass of the Pope and everything he comes out in and how, you know, everything in the Vatican, that the Catholic Church doesn't have an asset or assets that they can sell in the Vatican to get that $80 million to help these parishes. A lot of them are fighting closure to stay afloat. And again, as I've always said, I am not Catholic, right? I grew up Presbyterian. However, these churches in the communities, they do so much. And you've got, you know, you've got people who might not have transportation regularly, who can walk to these churches. Now, there's not going to be the neighborhood church. There's not going to be one in walking distance. And that's sad. That's unfortunate. And the diocese says, well, we don't care. You're going to close your church and you're going to give us the $700,000 that was due for maintenance. And now with 5 days, we'll have to see if they get the ruling from the court. And I knew this was going to happen. Like, I knew there were going to be parishes that push back, and I think they should. I do not think that people who, you know, they give their donations weekly to the church because they want that to go to a good cause. They want it to go to keep the lights on at the church. They want it to go for maintenance issues, as you heard from St. Bernadette in Orchard Park. They want it to go to the food pantry at the church or the events the church puts on, right? And now that those funds are taken away, it's pretty much the diocese saying, we're taking 80% so you can't fight the closure. But I continue to go back to the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the money that they have, that they cannot pay the $80 million remaining to these lawsuits. I don't think there's a good rational excuse to why they can't help out. And instead, they want to punish the parishes. They want to pretty much hurt the parishes to a point where they can't recover the ones that they have on the closure list. 803-0930, star 930. I want your take on this, but also to the Catholics that are out there, why stay with the Catholic Church? I'm not saying this as a, why are you staying with the Catholic Church? I think it'd be a very interesting insight. Why stay with the Catholic Church? Why not go to a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church or something else? Why is it important to stay within the Catholic Church? Again, it's a curiosity question. I'm not shaming anyone for doing it, but with all this going on, why stay with the Catholic Church? And have you jumped religions? Have you jumped to a different church? Be interested to hear that too. 803-0930, star 930. Beamer, in for Beamer, on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, I just came up with a great idea at the urinal. It's where most good ideas happen. You know, you're just spacing out and you're thinking. I'm thinking that, you know, I want to put my money where my mouth is, but we're not even talking about money here. I think that we should do a weekly segment where a Democrat politician weekly comes on the show. And it doesn't have to be the same one, but it's the same time every week, comes on the show, and the stuff that we've been talking about, we run by that politician. Okay? And so it's not just talk. It's not just me screaming that, you know, well, I've you know, this person, that person, like I did last hour, that we actually have the segment. Now, do we have enough Democratic elected officials to fill that segment weekly? Who knows? But I think it would be a I think it would be great. And again, if you if you have the if you're informed enough to back up the opinions that you claim to hold and want to be on record with those opinions, then you should have no issue regularly coming on and telling me why I'm wrong, telling this audience why I'm wrong. You should have no problem going on with David and telling David why he's wrong if you honestly believe it. And again, you're informed enough. And I don't know, could pass public speaking 101, which apparently some of our elected officials can't. We'll see. I'm sure it won't happen, but I'm going to put it out there on social media. So again, instead of me just sitting here telling you, and again, I will continue to tell you the people I've invited, but we'll have the segment to highlight who actually will come on the show, who actually will come on and answer the questions we have. And again, I mean, I know Mitch Nowakowski will come on. I know Pat Burke will come on. Tim Kennedy will come on. Okay, what about you, Mark Poloncarz? You talk so tough on social media. Jeremy Zellner, you blocked me on social media. How about you come on and tell us why we're wrong? Tell us why you have all this power as an unelected a chair of a county party. 803-0930, star 930. So that's the thought I had at the urinal. And Tanner, I think we're going to go through with it. I think that's the way to go. By the way, Tanner has now taken over the board. See, this is the show where we have the crossover of the producers. We have Jimmy for the first hour, Tanner for the second. This is like the warm-up to Bowerly for Tanner.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell, because I just screwed up there. We had a little... Jimmy would never do that, so that's how you know. When you start hearing screw-ups, that's how you know I took over.
Don't let Jimmy fool you. He just runs away and says it's not. But Tanner's here. So Jimmy uses the show as his wind down from David, and Tanner uses the show as his wind up for Bowerly. So it works out for everyone. By the way, this is not related to anything we talked about, but I wanted to say this when we were doing the crosstalk with David. Last weekend, the Mets-Yankees, SNY had 70% more viewers than Yes for the weekend series Mets versus the Yankees. So shout out Mets fans watching the team. And Yes Network not having the viewership that SNY had. So when we went to break, we were talking about the parishioners suing the Buffalo Diocese and what will come next. Again, St. Bernadette's is quoted in here saying that they have to pay 80%. So of the money they have on hand, $723,666 is 80% of that. That was supposed to go toward maintenance issues. Now, again, they're also on the list to be closed. This kind of takes away any effort to fight that closure because they're pretty much taking most of your remaining money that could have been spent for maintenance, for upkeep and all that. So my question to you is, who's in the right here? Is it the diocese? Is it the parishes? Because I 100% align myself with the parishes and the parishioners. I don't think they should be punished in a time where they're trying to make ends meet. And I do believe that the diocese needs to pay the settlement, right? The diocese is the one that needs to turn its image around. The diocese is the one that needs to prove that they have moved on and that there is a no-tolerance policy and that the people from the past will pay for their sins, for their disgusting acts. But in the meantime, you shouldn't be taking from the parishes that are putting that money into the church which gives back to the community. So 803-0930, star 930, your thoughts on that. And another thing, you know, again, I wasn't born Catholic. I was raised Presbyterian. So maybe it's different for us Protestants. But, you know, when we moved here from Hornell, we first went to a Methodist church before going to a Presbyterian church. And when I was in college, there were a few times I went to the Catholic church on campus at Canisius with a few buddies for the Sunday night mass. So for Protestants, I think Protestants have jumped, you know, there's some that have jumped different Protestant religions. for Catholics out there, why is it, and again, this isn't I'm not making fun of anybody. I don't mean this in an insensitive way. This is a general curiosity question. Why is it so important to stay with the Catholic Church, with the Catholic religion? What is it about the Catholic religion that you want to stay and not jump to a Protestant or one of these mega churches? Now, I know that doesn't go for everyone, because when we brought this up a few weeks ago, we had someone call in who has gone to one of the big mega churches now, and they said they're very happy there. They get their message. They feel close to God. And at the end of the day, the churches do so much for the community, but it's also a place to where you worship and you get the word of the Lord and all of that, which, hey, good stuff. Don't get me wrong. But why the importance to stay with the Catholic religion? 803-0930-*930. That is the number to get on the show today. And if you're part of these parishioners who have filed the lawsuit, would love to hear, where you stand on this and exactly what you're hoping in realistically to happen. I mean, because we're 5 days from when this is due. Like I've always said, I think this money should come from the Catholic Church. You cannot tell me that the money's not there in the Vatican to pay the other $80 million. And you would think the Catholic Church would want to do whatever it could do to make sure more parishes, more churches don't close. I would think that's the goal of the Catholic Church, not only nationwide, but worldwide. 803-0930-*930. Here is the story. This is Channel 4 filing this report yesterday on the parishioners suing and what their overall goal is.
Good evening. Members of five Western New York parishes announced they're suing the Diocese of Buffalo, trying to stop money from their churches being put toward the diocese's $150 million sex abuse settlement. Our Dylan Morello breaks down both sides for us. Dylan.
Marley, parishioners from the Blessed Sacrament, Our Lady of Peace, St. Bernadette, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, and St. John the 23rd filed a lawsuit yesterday, claiming the payments required would fatally destroy their parishes.
The lawsuit stems from the diocese's plan to draw $80 million from the available cash of its 160 parishes to help pay for the sexual abuse settlement. The parishioners are asking a judge for a temporary pause to that request or an injunction, saying a payment that large being made this soon would be, quote, catastrophic, adding none of the monies contributed to the parishes were for the payment of the diocese victims of abuse. Diocese officials have said they used a progressive formula to calculate how much each parish will pay. Parishes with under $250,000 in unrestricted funds were asked to contribute 10%, while those with under $500,000 would pay 25%, increasing in 10% increments, topping out at 75% for parishes with more than $3 million. The Blessed Sacrament, Our Lady of Peace, St. Bernadette, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, and St. John the 23rd are all churches ordered to merge as part of the diocese road to renewal. The Vatican put those mergers on hold while it considers appeals by the parishes. In a prior release, the diocese stated parishes appealing still have to pay up, but if the closure is overturned, will be refunded the difference between the 80% assessment and the rate if the church wasn't slated to close. The new lawsuit claims the diocese is defying the Vatican suspension by requiring parishes to pay up to 80% of their available cash by next Tuesday, July 15th.
And the Vatican knows about these cases, right? They know what's going on here. Again, I can't imagine, with everything I know about the Vatican and the economy in the Vatican, that they cannot help out with the $80 million remaining and spare these parishes. Again, I thought the goal would be to have as many Catholic churches and parishes as possible, not to force closure. And again, take any kind of real chance they had to fight these mergers, to fight these closures by taking almost all their money on hand. 803-0930-*930. Tom is in North Tonawanda. Tom, you left the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I left the Catholic Church probably 15 years ago, maybe a little longer. I was born and raised into a Catholic family. It just didn't get, I guess, the spiritual nourishment that I required. So I was away from the church for a long time, meditated and prayed on it for a while. Me and my wife got together about that same time, started going to one of the bigger churches out here. I won't say any names, but mega church. And I don't know, it just seemed like we got the message that we needed to be somewhere smaller so we could contribute. And that's what we did. We went to a smaller church to start up in North Tonawanda, and we've been happy since. We're getting a lot more spiritual nourishment out of it. Bible study, more from your messages on Sundays. And it's not a chore anymore. It's actually a desire to draw closer to God, being in a smaller, more community-oriented church. So, I wasn't getting that from the Catholic Church. Like I said, I went there for many years. So
Tom, you being removed from the Catholic Church as long as you have been and growing up in the Catholic Church, when you're looking at all this stuff going on now with the parishes forced to pay all this money, how do you look at that as a former Catholic?
I got to believe, it blows my mind that the Vatican, one of the wealthiest organizations in the world, with the money that they spent, whether they did or did not, I'm not here to accuse, covering things up, just make it right. What do you hold, why do you have that much money? Why does any Catholic Church hold that much money in their coffers, if you will, when you're supposed to be taking care of the community and the people? You're supposed to be doing God's work. Why are you banking all this money? And the Vatican should technically have nothing. All that money should go out to all the Catholic churches of the world and help the communities that they serve. I don't understand this mega wealth that they have. And don't get me wrong, there's mega churches that same thing. I mean, if you're a not-for-profit organization, you're a church, you should be taking care of people, not banking the money. I get it that there's overhead. That's understandable. But when you're spending that kind of money or banking that kind of money, that seems to be, that's a travesty is what it is. I mean, it just boggles my mind that there's that much money, but there's still that much starvation and hunger and poverty out there. And you're a church. You should be taking care of the people.
Amen to that, Tom. Hey, man, appreciate the call. Tom in North Tonawanda. And, you know, I mean, Tom brings up another point that, you know, is kind of tied in with this. I mean, the money that was spent and the secrecy for so many decades to cover up what was going on. And again, you know, the people who covered it up also should be paying the price as the people who were committing these disgusting acts, because you allowed it to continue to go on. And then you're at a parish and, you know, you get this priest shows up. You don't know why the switch happened. I think we can all agree that the way this was handled was awful. And it's put a lot of churches in a lot of Catholic parishes in a tough situation because, you know, the diocese, the parishes, they do have to rebuild their image. They have to regain trust. I don't think this is helping regain trust when you say one thing, hey, we're putting your merger on hold, this and that. And also, hey, you still have to pay your 80%. You still have to pay a majority of the money you have on hand, which is going to, again, take away any chance you have of fighting that merger because we're taking all the money. You're pretty much disabled financially to move on. So it's a story that's not going to go away. And like I said, obviously we're going to follow through on what happens next. Do they get the pause? Do they get the injunction? Does the Vatican finally step in and say, you know, we're going to do what's right and we're going to find the 80 million here. We'll find the 80 million in the Vatican. We'll see. I mean, it's I'll tell you this. I said this when the date was first put there. They're not getting their money on July 15th. And I'm pretty confident now that that's going to be the case. But it's a story that will play out, and now it's in the hands of the state Supreme Court. And we'll see if they get the pause, if they get the injunction. Again, you've got 5 days to hear what happens there with the Buffalo Diocese. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on if you want to comment on anything we brought up so far in the show. When we come back, there's a lot. You know, here's the thing. I am so fortunate and so grateful for this show. But man, does 2 hours just fly by. Next thing you know, we're getting into the last segment. On the way into work today, I was driving through the Boulevard parking lot, you know, because I wanted to test the shocks on my car. And driving through, and they had taken the Bye Bye Baby sign down, which I'm familiar with because Bye Bye Baby was owned by Bed Bath & Beyond when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond. And there were people in there getting the store ready with a big sign out front, Spirit Halloween, now hiring. And I'm like, man, you know, usually we look to like the end of the Erie County Fair is to, you know, summer winding down. But on July 10th, I'm already being reminded of fall with Spirit Halloween opening. I want to talk a little bit more about that. And also, I was watching Wimbledon this morning. An American on to the final could have 3 straight Grand Slam finals won by an American woman. And I was thinking, you know, I used to watch Wimbledon religiously, right? Every Wimbledon match I was glued to. Roger Federer, when he was playing, I could not miss a Roger Federer match. Wimbledon is definitely on my event bucket list, right? I've got a few on my event bucket list. I want to know from you, 803-0930, star 930. What is on your event bucket list? What is, you know, before you kick the bucket, or maybe it was on your event bucket list and you went, was it everything you wanted? Was it a big disappointment? 803-0930, star 930. I want to hear it. Summertime, people are looking for things to do. What is your event bucket list? What is an event that you definitely want to get to that you watch on TV and go, man, would it be amazing to be there? 803-0930, star 930. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board also open at 803-0930. We've got one segment left. We'll talk all about that. We'll check in with Tom and see what he's talking about after the news on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight.
Well, that's what was going through my head driving through the Boulevard parking lot, which, by the way, really sad. I mean, they need to repave that if they're going to, you know, start this project. But again, I also understand that Doug Jamal is upset with the way the town has handled it, and you can't blame him. We know how Amherst handles these projects and the luck they've had with some of these things, like Station 12. But I saw that in the old Bye Bye Baby, the Spirit Halloween, getting ready, they're stocking up, getting ready to go. I'm not a big Halloween person. I do think the older my son gets, I'll enjoy Halloween. You know, this year we'll take him to a few houses. He'll do some trick-or-treating. But, you know, for me, it's like I want to be like a goofy outfit. I was saying maybe Jimmy and I, but maybe Tanner and I will dress up as Wham this year for Halloween, right? You know, something silly like that. But some people really get into it. And, you know, I mean, Spirit Halloween is going to be open in a month. And there will be people that will stop in there every, like once a week, because they have this elaborate costume or they want to throw this party with elaborate decoration. And hey, God love them. I love Halloween because the next day, my wife and I can dress up the house for Christmas. And, you know, it won't be as scrutinized as if it was on October 30th. I know a lot of you are saying, Joe, that's crazy. But, you know, for us, Thanksgiving is part of the holiday season. So I think it's fine to be dressed up for Christmas on Thanksgiving. My wife's birthday also falls in there. You know, I love the holiday season. I love November, but it's bittersweet for me because November is also the last full month of college football, right? Especially for my beloved Hokies. They're probably not going to go to the playoffs. So November, I love it. I love the holidays, but it also illustrates just how quickly college football is. You blink and the season's over. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. Spirit Halloween, they are opening up. And I know a lot of you out there, because I've done this show, and I'll do this show again the closer we get to Halloween. I know a lot of you out there, you guys are nuts for Halloween, right? You've got the parties, you've got the matching costumes, everyone in the family is, you know, it's the same theme. When you know you've got the younger couples, they're already planning what cute outfit can we go to all these parties in. I think it's great. I love that, you know, hey, you get one life, right? You get one life, you could be gone tomorrow. Why not live it up? Why not get the best, most out of every day? And if Halloween is your holiday of choice, well, then live it up. Live it up. Put the inflatable ghost outside. Play the haunted house music till 11 o'clock at night with the fog on your lawn. I love it. I love it. Get into the spirit. It's great. But you should know, Spirit Halloween, and this year, I don't know if we'll see it locally, but you know somewhere in the country, there will be a party city that last year was competing with Spirit Halloween that will this year be a Spirit Halloween because Party City went out of business. So I, you know, the retail mind in me finds that to be a little ironic that Party City and Spirit used to go head to head and now Spirit can just move into Party Cities. 803-0930, star 930. By the way, I've put the invite on social media. So in case you thought, oh, Joe, you're just saying it on the radio. No. You know, I give my opinions. You know where I stand. I love hearing where you stand. But I want all opinions to be illustrated on the show. And if you have pushback to something I'm saying, I want there to be that pushback. So I have put an invite on social media to have a weekly segment with an elected Democrat to give their perspective on things and to push back on anything I've said. You know, David Weekly on Tuesdays has Ken Harbaugh, right? And hey, you might be like me and yelling at the radio when Ken speaks, but I think it's a great perspective. They have a nice back and forth. You get to see the perspective from someone on the other side of the political aisle. And I think David does such a great job with that. Well, I kind of want something like that. So I'm going to try to get a local elected Democrat. And it doesn't have to be the same one. But every week, we'll find a time, whatever time works best. Every week, we'll have that segment where we will get the perspective from the political left. And you're probably asking, Joe, why wouldn't you get a weekly segment with an elected Republican? Because most elected Republicans, I could text them and they'll be on the show in 10 minutes. So I'm sure we're going to, you know, we started the show with Congressman Nick Laneworthy. I'm sure we are regularly going to be speaking with elected Republicans. But like I said, I want everyone to feel like they can call in with their opinion no matter where they stand. And I also feel that if you're in elected office, you know, these are the people that democracy doesn't die in darkness. They cheer the media when they push back on Trump. They cheer the media when they push back on Kristi Noem. But then they go in hiding and don't want to have, I don't know, maybe questions that don't fit your talking points. They don't want to be hit with the same scrutiny that they're begging the media to throw at Trump and to J.D. Vance and to Marco Rubio and to Jim Jordan and to Nick Laneworthy. And they think that it's the Laneworthys and the Tennys that should have the tough questions, and they should just get the cakewalk, right? The Joe Biden, what kind of ice cream did you have today questions. So I'm putting them on the spot. You cheer the media when they ask Trump those questions. You know where I stand. Come on the show and let's have a discussion. Let me ask you the questions that, hey, you might not want to answer or might not be in today's talking points. That was a really bad paper thing, Tanner. But you cheer it on with Trump, but you don't want the same questions yourself. So I'm putting them on the spot. If you know an elected Democrat, tell them to get in contact with me. We are going to do this once a week. We are going to have an elected Democrat come on, and we're going to get their perspective, not only on things that they are doing. They want to get some message across. That's fine. But also to give a little pushback and tell us how you view this. Is Bondami the future of the Democrat Party? If not, are you going to stand up to that? See, those are the kind of questions I think they should be asked. But again, they cheer on the Washington Post, but they'll run away from anyone asking them those same questions. So time will tell. It's the first attempt I'm having at doing a regular segment. So I really hope it doesn't go up in smoke. But again, that will be this weekend's goal. You know, we've only got a few minutes left here, but so I was watching Wimbledon today, and I used to play tennis all the time. I can't serve, but I love a good volley, right? I was never good on serve, but if I could just get the serve across the net and not fault, it was always a nice back and forth. And I'd love to get into tennis again. You know, now that my mornings, well, the first part of my mornings are free. You know, I try to get in here around 10:30. Now that the first part of my mornings are free, I'd like to, you know, the problem is all my friends work, but I'd like to find a tennis partner and, you know, play some tennis in the morning, not go to the gym every morning. But watching Wimbledon, you know, I still have this dream of going to all four majors. Now, I'm going to have to find some money because these majors are really, if you've ever looked at just trying to go to the first round of the U.S. Open, how ridiculously expensive it is. But I would love to go to all four majors. But the one, if I could just pick one, and I'm not, you know, I want to travel the world and I want to go to Europe. I love America. There's a lot to see here, right? Montana's on that bucket list. I still want to get to Montana. I love Vegas. And the beautiful thing about Vegas is you can go to Paris, you can go to New York City. You know, I mean, it's all in the same, all in the same town. So I'm not Mr. Oh, I want to go and see Europe and, you know, hitchhike my way. That's not me. But I would love to go to Wimbledon. Like it is top five event bucket list. It wouldn't even have to be the final. It wouldn't even have to be going in to see. If I could just watch one from the grassy hill that they sell tickets to, right, and watch it on the screen. Like I want to be at Wimbledon during the tournament. Like I thought it would have been a lot of fun when the Olympics were in London and the tennis part of the Olympics was on the grass courts at Wimbledon. I thought that would have been really cool to be at. But when you think of, you know, events you want to go to, what is one of those top event bucket lists? Like, do you have an event? And maybe it's not a yearly. Maybe you're like Mazurowski. You want to go to the World Cup, right? Or you're a big Olympic person. You want to go to the Olympics. Do you have an event that like is a must before before your time on this earth is up? Is there a must-go-to event? Tanner, not to put you on the spot, do you have like a must-go-to event before you call it quits?
Well, someone on the text board had a great suggestion, a fever game that would be cool. And the WNBA is expanding to Toronto. The Toronto Tempo will be joining the league next season, so definitely that's something I want to do, is get up to Toronto and see not only a fever game, but the Dallas Wings as well. See my two favorite WNBA players, the past two number one overall picks, and Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, respectively. So definitely I want to get up to Toronto and see those two play. And, you know, the other one on the fever, Sophie Cunningham. She's a great player as well, too. So I want to see all of them, but definitely. And I've been to Scotiabank before. I went there for a Raptors-Kings game a couple seasons ago, but I want to get up there, see my first WNBA game, Fever, Wings, so maybe we'll look at that next season once the Tempo enter the league.
I've been to Scotiabank three times, all for Sabre Leaf games, and all in the standing room on the top ring where you can't bring alcohol. And you might say, Joe, that does not sound like you, but it stopped me from paying, I mean, this is when I was in college, $16 for a small beer because I couldn't bring it up there. So, well, no need to buy a drink. Kind of saved me money. You know, you're in a WNBA guy. Were you surprised that they're just staying in NBA markets and not expanding and trying to expand the footprint outside of that?
I guess it's not surprising, because if you have the NBA team, it makes it easier to market the WNBA team. But I was a little disappointed by that. I'm clamoring, can we get a basketball team back in Buffalo, even if it is just a WNBA team? Because obviously the league is growing in popularity, and we've been starved of basketball for so long. Obviously, we had the Braves, but they've been gone for quite some time now. So.
Tanner, they left 10 years before I was born.
Well, for me, they haven't been certainly in Buffalo since well before I was even alive. So to me, it seemed like a long time, but
that was
a little disappointing to see, because they're going to Philadelphia, Detroit, and Cleveland, which all have NBA teams. So it would have been on, and even Portland. Portland's going to have their own team. So I would have liked to have seen them branch out to a city that doesn't already have an established professional basketball team, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I vividly remember the Knicks playing a preseason game at the arena. But I brought that up on the air, and no one confirmed that. No one said, yeah, Joe, I remember that too. Like, did I make that up in my head? You know how sometimes you make something up, you guarantee, you're like, this is definitely truth. But no one has confirmed that. Everyone I've asked says they don't remember it. I have like this vivid memory of the Knicks playing I didn't go, but it was in the news that the Knicks played a preseason game at the arena. I mean, I would tell you this. I've never been to any tennis event, but Wimbledon's like the bucket list, but I'd like to go to any tennis event, right? The Cincinnati Open, there's the Rogers one. You've got the one in Miami that looks like a lot of fun. I'd like to get back into it, you know, because I haven't followed tennis closely since Federer was playing. Now, someone on the text board also said that Joe, did you ever go play pickleball? That's something you should go do. And then my buddy Matt texted me, pickleball, everyone's doing it. Another thing, you know, I'm trying to look to play at 8 in the morning. Everyone I know at 8 in the morning is working. Like, I need a pickleball doubles partner or something. But no, I would love to go play. I'd love to go play some pickleball. Speaking of Tom Bowerly, I was trying to make a pickleball reference.
Things old people do, or is that what you're getting at?
No, that's not what. But do you, Tom, are you a pickleball guy? Have you gotten into it?
No, I've yet to get into it. But there's always tomorrow and the next week and the week after that. That would involve some physical exertion. I'm not so sure I like that idea.
Well, Tom, I mean, look at you. You're in the perfect shape to start playing some pickleball.
Well, I am studly, not going to deny that, but seriously, I'm so glad, Joe, that you found your wedding ring, because I was preparing a spot for you in case you needed, you know, to lamb it for a bit.
Yes, I was so happy when I saw it in a thing of dust. My wife will not be happy I mentioned the dust. A thing of dust under the TV. My son must have gotten a hold of it, and he likes to throw everything, so he must have thrown it under the TV a few days ago.
a sea of dust, the Sargasso sea of dust in the Beamer household. That was a kind of an interesting deflection tactic, Joe. It's kind of like if your wife is in charge of cleaning, you almost put the blame on her.
No.
That's something that I would do.
No. It's a joint issue. She just would not want people to know that we've gotten to a point where it's dusty. But you know, Tom, with my new schedule and not having to leave the house at 4 in the morning, I am going to take on some of those duties before I come into work.
Well, I mean, you'd hate to upset the equilibrium and the routine that you've established. Think twice before you commit to any extra work, young man. hey, by the way, what are the ways you could basically make up for misplacing the wedding ring for a few days? Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Paul McCartney coming to Buffalo. He told us back in, was it October of 2015? He said he would be back, and promises made, promises kept. Paul McCartney is coming back. But the big question I have, Joe, now you're a young man in your 30s. Do the Beatles matter to you at all? Or when people say the Beatles, do you think, oh my goodness, let me vomit, let me leave the room?
I think the Beatles are still, I mean, people my age, they, you know, before MP3s were anything, had all the Beatles on CD. You know, I remember going to my buddy's house and we'd be listening to the Beatles while playing video games. So I think with my generation, the Beatles are still as popular as any generation.
Yeah, well, your generation is my daughter's generation, and she's been a Beatles fan for as long as she's been alive and listening to music in my car. That, and believe it or not, Steely Dan. I don't know how that happened. definitely osmosis or something like that. But, yeah, coming up after 3 o'clock, Joe, I want to get into a little bit of the McCartney thing. And a lot of people who saw McCartney when he was here in 2015 are dead now. But, no, I'm kidding. Well, my mom. That was one of the best things ever, was taking my mom to see Paul McCartney with my kids, a few rows behind us, but she had the privilege of age. But if you saw him once, do you need to see him again? How much money would you pay? What is your maximum to see a music legend like Paul McCartney? And I have to ask the question, at least for part of the show, which would be basically, are the Beatles still relevant? Do they matter? Ringo was 85 years old on Monday. Mr. Peace and Love, 85 years old. And Buffalo's own Gary Astridge, you might know, is Ringo's official drum historian. And he was at that big gala with Joe Walsh and everybody else.
Wow. You know, but, Tom, I have to say, you know, I wanted to see Prince. Never got to see Prince before he passed. Never got to see Jimmy Buffett before he passed. If I could get a ticket, and I know it's going to be close to impossible, I'd have to go just to say I saw Paul McCartney. Like, to me, it's one of those things that it's a legend. And one of the few times you'll be able to see him. If I had my hands on a ticket, I don't think anything could stop me from seeing that show.
I would absolutely love to go, and wouldn't want to spend what I spent last time to see Mr. McCartney. That was, but you know what? It was well worth it. We made memories. That was good.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of concerts, Tom, one of my biggest regrets involves you. You offered me a ticket to Hall & Oates when they were at Art Park back in the day when we had just moved to the afternoons.
Oh, yes.
And I had a date with a woman, obviously didn't work out, and I took the date over the tickets. And Tom, to this day, I regret not taking those tickets.
When one has a chance to see Hall and Oates, one sees Hall and Oates. It's that simple. I'm sorry, but I'm a big yacht rock guy, classic rock, yacht rock, kind of my jam. And if you get a chance to see Hall and Oates, absolutely go for it.
Yeah, I should have listened to you, Tom. And to this day, you know, over a decade later, it is still one of the biggest regrets. And I would list it on any list. I've told my wife that story numerous times. When we listen to Yacht Rock and Hall & Oates comes on, I go, Bowerly gave me the chance and I picked a girl that we only went on one date.
Well, it turns out she was a man-eater.
it turns out that way. Hey, Tom, looking forward to hearing from you in just a few minutes.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Joe. Thanks a million. And again, glad you found your wedding ring.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. That is Tom Bowerly. You will hear him after the news with Tom Puckett. And then after Bowerly, you'll hear Buffalo's Evening News with Tom Puckett. Stay tuned. It's Bowerly after Puckett. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.